Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Molly Green
and Darren Rudge.
Well, yes. Sometimes that's God's way of getting you to enjoy gardener's world.
The Happy Garden.
And a very warm welcome to May. As we enter one of the most exciting months in the garden, we're going to be looking at May in this episode of the Happy Garden podcast. May festivities were first recorded in ancient Roman times, and in Roman mythology, Flora is the goddess of flowers and spring, and the Floralia, which is the festival of Flora, took place right about now, the beginning of May, in honour of the goddess of flowers and fertility and spring. And of course, the birth flower for May is the beautiful lily of the valley. And the days are getting longer, they're definitely getting a little bit warmer, and we've got lots to look forward to in the garden. So we are going to celebrate. Let's get the May party started with your gardening expert, the magnificent Darren Rudge.
Well, yeah, it's all kicking off in the garden now, isn't it, Molly Green? Right. You know, it's grow, grow, grow. So as part of what I'm bringing to the party is my foraging slot. Going to profile around about 7 different plants that you can look out for that everybody's got in their garden, or at least you'll find them somewhere. Got jobs for the week ahead, plus jokes. You wait till you hear my jokes this week, Molly. Surpass myself.
Confident.
I'm building myself up to this because I'm quite confident these are going to be the bestest jokes ever.
Ever. That's quite a claim.
Ever.
is it on par? Is it anything to do with potatoes, let's say?
No, there's nothing about potatoes shitting.
Shitting your potatoes. That was the funniest thing ever. Well, we'll look forward to those a little bit later on. Now, the magnificent Chris Baines, our very good friend, the founder of International Dawn Chorus Day, will join us a little bit later on. With this year, it falling on the 5th of May, we're going to find out more about the worldwide celebration of International Dawn Chorus Day. As Darren's just said, he's going to be looking at some free tasty treats, foraging in May. Insects in May is on the agenda as well. Bug Life joining us so we can have a look at some of the insects that are in your garden this month. And some advice on what to do if you see a sleepy bee. And we'll find out why they're so low-flying at this time of year. All to do with them smelling out mouse urine, would you believe? It's fascinating. We'll find out more a little bit later on. Andy Lound is here with the history, horticultural history of the apple, a little bit later on. And Darren, I've no doubt you and I will be discussing a little bit later on World Naked Gardening Day, which this year falls on Saturday, 4th of May.
Star Wars Day, May the 4th.
Yes!
And most definitely.
I wonder, there's a joke, isn't there? What's the joke about? Darren. How did Luke Skywalker know what he was getting for Christmas?
I don't know. How did Luke Skywalker know what he was getting for Christmas?
I think I've worded that wrong, but the essence the essence of the punchline is. because I felt your presence. Or something like that. It's the way you tell them or don't tell them, isn't it?
All of this and more still to come on
The Happy Garden
with Molly Green and Darren Rudge.
So, before we hear from Chris Baines and find out all about International Dawn Chorus Day, let's start, as always, with our Dazzler's jobs for the week ahead.
Now in the Happy Garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes. One and go, Darren.
Well, check your roses, folks. It's black spot weather. So do check them for black spot and treat before and after wet weather, folks. Remember, for fungal diseases in general anyway, windy conditions or breezy conditions and wet weather just spreads those fungal spores. So do check and treat before and check and treat after we've gone through wet weather. All young trees should be checked, especially if we've had a lack of water. We've not had a lot of rain this week, folks, so, you know, get out there and just check them. And also check for signs of the stakes are nice and sturdy and actually just loosen off those ties, because it's a time of rapid, rapid growth. They can easily start to get caught up on those ties and start to be congested. So just slacken them off a little bit. Control your weeds and grass at the base of young trees must be removed, folks. It reduces competition. You'd be really surprised how much competition a little bit of turf around the base of a tree can actually cause. And finally, ensure you are mowing on a weekly basis.
Well, you say that, Darren. However, and I don't think we're going to have time to squeeze it in today's podcast, because we do have an awful lot coming up, so I think it'll probably be next week's Happy Garden. No mow May.
Yeah, well, he can be let off if you want to operate in No Mow May, OK? And if you leave at least an inch on your lawns, folks, you will have 65%, yes, 65% more wildlife in your garden.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah.
Just for an inch on your lawn.
Fantastic. Well worth doing. Listen, now we're in and ahead of hearing from Chris Baines, I'll just take this little juncture to ask how you are, our Dazzler. How's your week been?
Well, I've had a bit of a week.
Yes.
I've been into accident and emergency on Friday.
Which we were talking about on last week's podcast.
Yeah. So spent quite a while in accident and emergency. All 14 hours of it.
Wow.
But we won't go there. There's a story there. Perhaps I'll tell you one day. But I have a chest infection. That's basically because I went in with chest pains.
Mm.
You see, Molly, I thought I was going to the great podcast place in the sky, wherever great podcasters go.
Did you think you were going to the pearly gates? Dear listener, if you were listening last week, now that would have been awful, because we spent a good deal of time discussing Darren getting into heaven, and if it was a woman,
who was what would happen?
What would happen if you got to the gates and God was a woman? Oh, did that cross your mind this week when you were at A&E?
As I was sitting there with heart palpitations and things like this, thinking, oh, bugger.
We did warn you, Darren. Stop ordering those coffees.
But it turns out it wasn't my heart, although they did all the tests and things.
Yeah.
It's acid reflux, would you believe? Some of it is acid reflux, and I have a chest infection, a viral infection, which apparently should clear itself up.
Yeah.
So don't make me laugh too much, Molly, because
okay.
I might die.
Just in case. Well, let's hope your jokes aren't too funny then later, Darren. In case you expire. On a serious note, thank goodness you're okay.
Oh, thank you.
And getting down there quick as well, because, and again, jokes aside, because we were talking safety in the garden on last week's. We had Ross Brom, we were talking safety in the garden, and Rupert's tale of getting septicemia and stuff. And one of the things, and you said, you really urged everybody, Darren, last week, anything you think is wrong, get down A&E.
Just go.
So thank God that's what you did.
Yeah. And if it's 14 hours, it's 14 hours. But, you know, you're in the right place, and that's all there is to it.
Right, let's get Chris Bain on. Let's hear from another incredible man. Let me give you a little background in case you haven't come across Chris Baines before. He is one of the UK's leading independent environmentalists. He's a horticulturalist, he's an author, a TV presenter, a landscape architect. He's an all-round good egg. We do love Chris. Back in 1980, he was one of a group of local environmentalists who co-founded the Urban Wildlife Group, which is now the Wildlife Trust for Birmingham and the Black Country. And that was the beginning, would you believe, of all of the wildlife trusts right across the UK. And, as we will hear in future episodes, Chris also built the first wildlife garden ever allowed at Chelsea Flower Show back in 1985. And he is responsible for International Dawn Chorus Day. Let's find out more with Chris.
International Dawn Chorus Day started as a really very simple, very personal idea. I had a big birthday, and I thought, I've got lots of friends who I'm not going to see on my birthday because they're all over the place. Wouldn't it be nice if I actually persuaded them to get up at the crack of dawn, 4:30, 5 o'clock on my birthday, beginning of May, and just listen to the birds and know that they were out there and I was where I was, and we were kind of communing, if you like, through the sound of the dawn chorus. And I don't know whether any of them actually got out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, but the spirit of the thing certainly worked. And then I thought, actually, this is, everybody said to me who'd been involved, it's a really nice idea because you don't need to know what the birds are. You just, you know, you can do it anywhere. It's free. And so the following year, I rang BBC Today programme. And I just said, you may not realise this, but the first Sunday in May is International Dawn Chorus Day. And, of course, they announced it on the Today programme, and therefore it was. And that's near, 37 years ago. And it's just grown and grown and grown. Within a couple of years, I'd met a wildlife photographer from Denver and talked about this. And she got in touch with me the following May to say, we've organised 3 special events in parks in Denver for people with disabilities. We're getting them all out there by 5 in the morning so they can listen to the bird songs. Great idea. And then by the, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, by then, there was this amazing programme going on RTE, on Irish radio, which they'd done for 10 or 15 years, where they had a live outside broadcast, 8-hour programme, starting in India and then travelling with the sunrise and the bird song through about 12 or 15 different countries. Wow. Picking up on the birds, and a different voice would come in to say, well, what you're hearing here is mostly tree frogs, or what you're hearing here is the sound of, you know, monkeys in the background in the dawn chorus. Exactly. So that then travelled all the way through to Dublin and finished up in a park in Dublin at dawn, you know. So this thing has just got better and better and bigger and bigger. And it's all kind of supervised, if you like, by the Birmingham and Black Country Wildlife Trust, who have got, you know, a tiger by the tail, really. It's completely out of control. It's happening all over the place. And it's wonderful because it's just so simple. And you know as well as I do, there is something just magical about being there in the dark when you hear the first robin and then the first blackbird, if you're lucky, and with your song thrush or something else. And of course, knowing that that's happening right across the northern hemisphere as the sun travels across, and that the birds will be different in different places, but the principle of it is the same, and they're all doing the same thing. They're all shouting at one another and saying, this is my patch and I'm bigger than you are. But what we get is the benefit of this glorious natural sound.
So that's what it is. Is it a territory thing? Is it the males singing? Who is the dawn chorus? Who are they?
It's the male birds mainly. In our case, it's mostly woodland birds who need to sing, if you like, need to make their presence known, partly to establish that they're at the centre of their territory and, you know, will be tied any other blackbird or robin or whatever that creeps in over the boundary. But it's also about telling the females, the potential mates, that, you know, I'm big and strong because just listen to my voice. if imagine what offspring we could produce together. Oh. So it's all about sex and territory and power, you know, really. But from our point of view, it's just, you know, it's just magical, beautiful. Yeah. And the other thing that's been, I think, a real surprise to people is that it's at least as good in urban Britain, particularly residential, mature, suburban Britain, as it is in the wider countryside. You know, I live in the middle of Wolverhampton. I'm surrounded by an urban forest here, you know, big trees that were planted by the Victorians. And the birdsong here is as good as anywhere, really. I mean, there are certain things we don't have. We don't have nightingales this far north, for instance. But by and large, we've got a whole range of woodland birds living in suburbia, or in this case, the inner city, and benefiting from the tree canopy cover and the shrubberies and the gardens and the garden ponds and all the other things that add up to a brilliant woodland habitat that happens to have people and houses in it.
Yeah. We had the RSPB on, well, we've had them on several times on the Happy Garden podcast, but a couple of weeks ago, about the Big Garden Bird Watch results, Chris, and they were saying just how fabulous it is. Yeah, the populations in urban areas, but that as a project, getting kids involved, getting families involved, getting the youngsters passionate and mindful about the birds around them, whatever the setting that they're in, it's just a brilliant thing, a real inspirational thing for the next generation to love birds.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the Big Garden Bird Watch has been going on for decades, but there are now a whole range of other citizens, it sounds rather heavy duty when you call it citizen science, but monitoring wildlife in gardens. So the piece of work that came out last week just saying that butterflies, a number of species of butterflies, are really benefiting from gardens, and particularly, ironically, if you've got a garden where you can accommodate some ivy, because ivy flowers are now clearly being shown to be critical to some of the butterflies that hibernate. Things like peacock butterflies and small tortoiseshells hibernate through the winter. They need a last kind of sugar hit before they go into hibernation, and the very latest of the flowers in the year are the ivy flowers. And then they just go into the evergreen undergrowth of the ivy and hibernate there till the spring. So there's a lot of learning going on in people's gardens as they get more and more engaged with watching and listening and learning.
You'll hear more from Chris in future Happy Garden podcasts about his garden and how important gardening with wildlife is, and how he's working with a multi-million pound project with the National Grid to help build a huge wildlife corridor along pylon lines as well. It's fascinating. Which reminds me, Darren, next week on the pod, and again, I just don't think we'll have time to squeeze it in this episode, but we're going to be hearing about the results of the Bugs Matter survey, which is basically a nationwide survey of just how many insects get splattered on your number plate on a journey. Results are out. It's not a good picture, but we'll go into detail next week. It's the splatometer, basically. But in all seriousness, do you remember when you and I started driving? You'd pull up at a petrol station and there'd be a little bucket and a sponge, wouldn't there? So when you stopped for fuel, you could always wash your windscreen because there'd be that many insects on it. Well, there's not now, is there?
No. And I think there is, like you say, older people like us
can remember
when bugs were about.
I'll mention it next week on the pod, and I think I mentioned it in the interview to Bug Life, who did this survey. That you know me, Darren, you've seen my car. I don't clean it that often, and I don't think I've done the exterior for 4 or 5 months. And I noticed the other day I've got one fly on the number plate. One. Aww.
Fly.
Well, I know, I felt bad for the one fly. But if, you know, if we were 18 and driving our Metros and Fiestas, you know, there'd be 200 flies.
Did you have a Metro?
Mm-hmm.
Mine was a Morris Minor.
Oh, cute. Was it?
It was, yeah. Oh. I had an old Morris Traveller. That was my first car.
What was it called?
Gertrude. Oh. And I don't know why I called it Gertrude, but it just looked like a Gertrude.
Mine was Miriam.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, old ladies' names
were
the thing, weren't they? But yeah, on an interesting note, we'll find out next week about what that, I'm going to use the word that the guy I spoke to used. Catastrophic decline in insects. Yeah, what the consequence of that may be. Now, Darren, shall I get onto a question for you and pick your horticultural brains?
Yes, please.
Darren, of course, is here to answer anything, any problem you've got in the garden. And it doesn't have to be a problem. It can be a success story, or maybe you're planning something. Don't forget, Darren is a multi-award winning garden designer. So maybe you've got an empty garden or you just want to change up for the forthcoming summer. That's what our Dazzler's here for. Well, and other things. But he's very good at that. All right. Right then, this is from Anne. And she sent us an email on thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Molly, Darren, I've had these peonies for about 5 years. One never flowers or just has fossilised buds as per the photos attached. I've lifted a little bit last year because gardeners question time said peonies don't flower that are planted too deep. But yet again, this peony has dried up buds. The peony on the other side of the garden does flower, but the stems were blown down in a storm. Darren, what can I do to encourage flowering? I've put some potassium sulfite round it. Anything else? Any other advice? And that is Anne.
Well, Anne, what you need to do really is investigate your soil because you're doing all the right things. Yes, peonies don't like to be too deep in the soil, but also if you've moved it, they take about 2 to 3 years to actually get to grips with their environment. So they're not prone to actually flowering for about, prolifically, I should say. For about 2 to 3 years, they might produce the odd flower, but actually they need to settle in. But certain pHs do restrict flowering. So popping, you know, potassium down, which is for fruits and flowers, which is what you've done, is not necessarily going to give you the answer that you require. So you need to test your soil and let us know what your pH is. And if it's anything towards the alkaline side of things, then you've got a bit of a problem, really. It is strange that the other peony seems to be doing quite well, but pH is not sort of spread right across the garden. It can be a local, not too extreme a change in pH, but pH does change with regards to water movement and things like that. So water particularly pulls things out of the soil and can change the pH of your soil. So I've got a little bit of homework for you to do and to come back to us on, Anne, is to check your pH. Go and buy yourself a little pH testing kit, which you can buy from your garden centre. Cost you about £1, £2 maximum. Okay, it's got a little tablet in there. Now, you need to use deionised water, not tap water. And if you can't locate some of that, just defrost your fridge. And literally, you'll only need a cupful, and that's deionised water at the end of the day. And then carry out the test and let us know what you come up with. And I think a couple of answers might be there for you. But again, if you've lifted it and moved it, you've sort of started from scratch. So it might take a couple of years for that plant to actually settle in. The other thing to do is to get some really, really good mulch around the base of the plant so that any water that goes into that area is retained and not lost when it becomes a nice sunny day. So, Anne, you've got some homework to do, and I need you to come back to us on what the pH is in your garden. We need a pH meter reading, or a pH test reading, I should say, and let us know. And that might actually tell us what's wrong with your peony. Okay, Mo.
Yeah, it's a shame, but she will have to wait a while to see bigger penis. Oh, I love it, love it.
Do we have a complaints department?
Loving it large. No, the good news is there's no HR department, so we can. It's fine. They can't touch us, Darren, it's fine.
That's all right.
Right, we must mention, our Dazzler, that it is Hedgehog Awareness Week as well, 1st to the 7th of May. We've talked, in fact, I think we did a whole, didn't we do a whole episode, around Bonfire Night last year. We did a whole episode on hedgehogs. And just to say, because obviously we're not sort of focusing on this episode on the Happy Garden podcast, but well worth it, isn't it, Darren, just getting that hole in your garden to make a hedgehog highway and make sure that they've got the run system and they can meet mates and they can forage for food. Very important we look after hedgehogs in our garden still.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, if you're worried about pests and things like that, slugs, snails and all those sort of things, and that's, you need a hedgehog. And it's as simple as that, isn't it? You know. And most of all, why not grow a hedge? you know. And that's where hedgehogs like to live, folks. That's why they call hedgehogs.
Well, you say, Darren, you say that, and that fits in very nicely in the fact that National Hedgerow Week is actually the 6th to the 12th of May. And, yeah, absolutely. Habitat for so much stuff. They're the unsung heroes of the British countryside, really. Do you know they form the UK's largest wildlife habitat, UK hedgerows?
So many invertebrates that, inhabit, as well as mammals and birds and things like that in a hedge. It's just so good if you could invest just a little bit of money in creating a hedgerow in your own back garden.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a massive thing, does it? And go wild, blackthorn, hawthorn, quickthorn, put a clematis in there, put a honeysuckle in there, rosa rugosa, dog roses, those sort of, and you've just got a fantastic display for yourself. You can forage from it, you can pick fruit from it, as well as making a wildlife habitat, folks. Stunning stuff. And it's, you know, it's not like a formal hedge that's monocultural and you have to keep clipped. You can just let do its own thing if you want to. But what you've done is you've benefited yourself and you've benefited wildlife, most importantly.
Well, I can advocate one website that I was having a look at last night. It's HedgeLink. One word, hedgelink.org.uk. And they bring together organisations and individuals with a love of hedgerows, and they share knowledge and ideas and encourage and inspire everyone to take action and manage and protect and conserve the hedgerows. Loads of info. It doesn't matter where it is. As Darren just said, it could be a hedge in a rural area or an urban area or in your garden or down your allotment. They're all vital. So I would urge you to go and have a look at hedgelink.org.uk. It's a fab website. Love it. Now, go on. What were you going to say?
All I was going to add to it, really, Molly, is when you've got your prunings and things like that, folks, what's becoming really, really, really popular is what's called a dead hedge.
Shove them in.
It's still such a valuable habitat. All you need is some canes in the ground so that you can basically make like a thing to stand them up against and just lay your prunings flat. Old hazel prunings, but the stems themselves, just ram them into the ground. So there's your uprights. And then pack any of your prunings behind those. And then you create what's called a dead hedge. And it really, really becomes a massive, massive wildlife habitat. So, and that way, you're being organic. It will break down eventually, but keep adding to it. So don't throw your prunings away. Don't put them in the green bin. Make a dead hedge as well. It's common sense, isn't it?
Darren,
just get out there and do it.
That's genius, because you'll have a little hedgerow if you need some sort of, you know, segregation in your garden, if you need some sort of barrier somewhere. No maintenance either. Brilliant.
Yeah, win-win. Totally and utterly. Prune it off, and then you haven't got the rubbish, just stick it on your dead hedge. Job done.
Nice. Winner, winner, avocado boom. Dinner. Boom!
Boom. Darren. Boom, I'm on fire.
That's your new thing, isn't it? Boom, I like
boom.
That. Boom. Boom, boom. It was that basil brush. Love it. Now, every month we're taking a look at what insects are in your garden here on the Happy Garden Podcast. So what can we expect to see in May? Here's Paul Hetherington from Bug Life.
So, I mean, at this time of year, you often see the queen bumblebees, and they're much larger than your average bumblebee flying around, and you'll see them flying quite low to the ground, and often over areas of grass and where there's no sort of obvious flowers around. And you think, well, what on earth are they doing? Well, they're actually looking for somewhere to make a nest, because what they're doing is they're sniffing out the smell of stale mouse urine, because their favourite place to make a nest is an old mouse hole. And they've obviously got very sensitive sense of smell, so they're just sniffing around. Can I smell some stale mouse urine? Ah, good, here it is. I'm going to make my home down there, because I've got a ready-made hole in the ground that we can gradually make bigger.
Wow, my goodness, my eyebrows are up in my hairline. I didn't realise that. I thought they were sort of, well, I don't know what I thought they were doing. I see them walking around on the floor all the time, and I'm thinking, do you need help? Well, actually, do they? You've explained sort of what they're looking for, but can we help them this time of year with their energy levels?
One of the issues we have had, particularly this year, is we've also had an awful lot of rain and we've had an awful lot of wind, and that makes it very, very difficult for bees to fly and to move around. So, yeah, what can we do to help them? Well, we can try and make sure that we've got stuff in bloom in our gardens at this time of year that is accessible to them. I mean, one of their favourite plant foods, and it's probably not a great one for a garden, is the blackthorn, which is, tends to be one of the first things to come out into flower. And if you go and look at blackthorn when it's in flower,
beautiful,
it tends to be covered in bees because it's one of the first early sources of food. But if you can have food sources ready in your, you know, garden and area, then at least they've got something they can go and stock themselves up on. You can buy homes for bumblebees. The only issue with them is that obviously without that stale mouse urine smell, they're not that likely to find and utilise them. Be interesting to do an experiment to find out if people who keep gerbils or hamsters could put some of their bedding in there and whether that would work to attract them.
Yeah, that is interesting. If you do see one on the floor, is it worth picking up with a leaf and putting on a pollinator?
Yeah, definitely. It is worth putting it onto a suitable flower head, yeah, if there are some flowers available, so it can get some energy back because it's probably been battered in the wind or by the rain and it's just feeling a bit down. And, you know, it's, if you have a big shot, they always say have a sort of sweet cup of tea, don't they?
Yeah,
the equivalent for them is to pop them on a flower and they can get some nectar.
Anything else we should be looking out for? Now we're in May. What else is around insect-wise, and is there anything that we can help with as gardeners?
Well, it's also the time of year when the majority of the solitary bees start to be active. And one of the great things we can do for solitary bees is actually provide more habitat for them, because a lot of them used to nest in walls and cliffs, but they can't get into modern cement, which is why, you know, proprietary bee homes are quite a good thing to put up,
yeah,
to give them somewhere to live. Make sure there is water available. People tend to forget the fact that insects, just like humans, need to drink. So something like a shallow-sided bird bath is the ideal thing to have so they can get water. Actually, that's very important. You will also, something people to be looking out for is Asian hornets, particularly down in sort of the southern parts of the country now. There was already been reports of them found in Kent this year. The number of nests found last year was very, very worrying, and it's almost certain from when some of those were destroyed that there have been plenty of queens have overwintered, and they can fly quite a long distance before setting up a nest. So do keep an eye out for them. They're a non-native invasive species. They've got yellow tips to their legs and on their head, and they're sort of more black and yellow than our native hornet and slightly smaller than it. They don't pose a danger to people, but they are voracious eaters of insects, and they particularly like to eat bees. And your average Asian hornet will eat 50 bees in a day. There is an app to report them on, should you see one. And even if you're not sure, report what you've seen. They will send people out to check on it. Don't try and kill them, because it's actually important that they are found. And the best way to find where the nest is, because the nest needs to be destroyed, is for experts to follow the worker hornet back to the nest. They can then find the nest and destroy it. And ideally, this all needs to happen before August, when new queens will have set off to form colonies for next year.
I remember talking to you about this last year, and you said that some experts had put drone, little tiny weeny pinprick drones, on their legs to get sort of GPS as to where they've gone, where the nest is. Wonderful technology.
Yeah, I mean, very expensive, but yeah, it's very, very important to try and keep this species under control.
Yeah, of course, of course. And back to our gardens, finally. Anything else we need to look out for in May?
Well, I mean, it is the time of year when most things are starting to wake up. You will probably, unfortunately, be starting to get your aphids coming in, but you should also start to see the ladybirds going out and becoming active. And then, of course, we often get people reporting finding these weird looking things, and these are the ladybird larvae, and they're black, often with a little bit of orange on them, and they look kind of like armor plated, and you know, they look quite like they do actually look very much more like some of the rove beetles, which are their sort of, you know, of course, you know, ladybirds are a type of beetle, so not surprising in a way, but yeah, a lot of people see them and wonder what they are, but they are the ladybird larvae, and they are really good predators, so you really want to welcome them. And again, at this time of year in the garden, you may well see wasps about, and at this time of year, wasps are very much the gardener's friend, because at this time of year, they are our number one pest controllers. They are going out there and they're getting things like caterpillars and leather jackets and taking them back to feed in the nest. So, you know, most of the bugs now are beneficial that you see out in the garden, or if they aren't beneficial, then there are beneficial ones that will be out there to get them.
Embrace everything. Thank you, Paul, and we will speak to you about our insects, our wildlife and our gardens in June next month. Thank you for today, though.
Okay, look forward to it.
The Happy Garden Podcast.
Time now for some adverts on the Happy Garden Podcast. Darren, did I tell you that we haven't been paid yet, but I had an email saying that there might be some money released from the adverts that are on the podcast and have been for many, many months? Don't get too excited, because I've done the math, as they say in America. Why they drop the S, I don't know. I've done the math, and we are getting around 69p per podcast.
I'll try and get my deposit for the Ferrari back then.
Dear me. At least it's better than not 69p, but that's by the end of today, in another hour. Pence. Yes, you'll have earned 69p today. What can we do? What can we buy with 69p?
Would our listeners like to suggest what we could do with 69 pence?
Yeah.
Please.
You'd be more than welcome.
Let's see what they come up with.
Well, listen, we'll have a few adverts. Ernest, just a couple of pence, literally. On the other side of that, we will give you all the ways to get in touch. But please don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just two ticks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Willkommen zurück to the Happy Garden Podcast to all our German listeners. Darren, we've got to be inclusive. Because we are in the chart in Germany and Norway, so yeah, to welcome all our international listeners.
It's like that joke, isn't it? Where does the Norwegian marathon end? The finish line.
Shall we now do, though, your foraging bit? Now, we're omitting Darren's sow and grow, only because we've got so much to do on this podcast. It will return next week with bits and bobs you can be sowing and growing this time of year. But, yeah, you're going to do this monthly now, aren't you? Sort of the Darren's larder. What free food for this month, basically?
Yeah, so at the beginning of every month, folks, we'll do a foraging slot, things you can look out for and have a go at eating, if you like, in your garden. Things that are easy to find, really.
You can grow it, you can pluck it, you can hoe it, you can cut it, you can boil it out of the ground. You can mow it, you can pick it, you can show it, you can dig it, you can forage. What have you found? It's Darren's larder.
Come and have a forage through Darren's larder.
Ooh. Oh, Darren. Oh, go, man, go.
So May's here, and if you're excited by foraging, now is the time to gather, learn and explore and experiment. As well as welcoming old favourites, there are always new things to discover and recipes to try out, folks. So I'm going to start with chickweed. Everybody's got chickweed. It's a vigorous weed that's probably trying to take over your beds and borders right now. But did you know you can eat it? The leaves, stems and flowers are all edible, folks, and you can either eat them raw, so as you're weeding them out, you can ram them in your mouth, or you can cook them in stews and even use them on salads. Its tender leaves can go into salads with a little bit of lemon or olive oil dressing, blend into homemade pesto, or use to liven up fish or chicken. The tiny white edible flowers make a pretty salad garnish as well too. Now we move on to an old-fashioned favourite, which is called hawthorn. At this time of year, the young leaves, flower buds and young flowers are all edible. They can be added to a green salad with grated roots, and the developing flower buds are particularly delicious, good and sweet. Young lime translucent leaves of the lime trees can be cooked but are best eaten raw. Add them to salads or in a sandwich instead of lettuce. How about that? With a little spritz of lemon juice. There are a lot of offshoots on the tree during the growing season. These are perfect for picking and can be harvested on a regular basis. The leaves, stems and flowers of the mallow, these are these pink flowers that we all love, are edible and are perfect for picking now. Leaves are rich in protein, calcium, iron and vitamin C and are a traditional medicine. They've been used to treat constipation, diarrhea, dry throats and a chesty cough. The slightly furry leaves and stems are best picked around now until early summer. They contain a resin which gives them a distinctive gummy texture, a bit like okra. It adds glutinous richness to Arabic soup, which is made from them. Add the bright and colourful mauve flowers to salads as a garnish for dressings and use them in summer cocktails as well. Red clover is a very common plant in the garden at this particular time, and it's a member of the bean family, would you believe? Don't pick too many. Bees love them. Clovers occasionally have four leaflets instead of the usual three. So there you go, folks. There's five, six or seven plants for you to look out for that are either in your garden. You might find them on roadside verges, or perhaps you go for a countryside walk. Pick them. Just have a little munch and have a little try. And we'll continue our foraging slot for June when we get into early June next month. Here you go, Molls.
Nice.
How about that?
Is chickweed, which is what you started off with, is that the same as sticky willy and goosegrass? Is that the
no,
same?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
A different plant.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's chickweed.
As we told. No, it's not your banana. It's totally different. Sticky willy, goosegrass. What's there is another term for it, isn't there?
The cleavers.
Cleavers. That's cleavers, the yeah. one. Yeah. That started coming up everywhere in our beds already. Darn it.
Yeah.
Can you eat that?
Yeah, well...
I have to look it up first.
You have to look out, sure. I have to look out for that. I wouldn't think so.
The goose, okay. The geese like it.
Yeah, it might stick as it goes down.
Oh, yeah, might do. Blessed stuff. It's the time in the garden now, Darren. Sorry to... Thank you very much for your foraging slot.
Right.
Just on a different note, it's the time in the garden now I've noticed where I can't quite tell, and I say this to you every year, what's a plant and what's a weed in inverted commas? You know, what do I want and what I don't want? Because, you know, they all look the same. They don't all look the same, but, you know, some of the leaves coming up, I'm not sure what they are yet. I'll have to just sort of wait.
So let them grow on a little bit if you're unsure. Mm. And it is the big problem because plants are young now and a lot of cotyledon seed leaves look the same, don't they?
Yes, yes.
So you don't know what's a weed and you don't know what you want to keep. But remember, a weed is only a plant growing in the wrong situation.
Yes.
So anything could be a weed.
Well, we're going to get your friend on at some point on the Happy Garden podcast who eats the weeds.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a fascinating Canadian website called Eat the Invaders, folks. And it's totally and utterly just bolsters that point. Instead of weeding them out, eat them. Or, in my case, drink them. So it tells you how to make cocktails and marrow rum and Japanese not-weighed wine. And
who's your mate down the allotment?
Dennis.
Dennis.
And he's still all right. He's still there. He hasn't blown himself up.
When you haven't mentioned Dennis for a while, I wonder what's happened down his brewing area.
He's actually got some new stuff on the market. So
it's not on the market,
I've been
though,
having
is
a
it,
taste. No, it's no. not. He doesn't sell it. You're not allowed
market.
To sell it.
The allotment
Which next
market.
Time I meet you, Molly, I'm gonna give you some little surprises.
Oh, good.
I think you're gonna enjoy them.
What are they made out of?
Well, all sorts of things. You see, he's gone a little bit tropical.
Oh, yeah.
And he's gone into cocktails. Do you like cocktails?
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's been plundering me with a few cocktails recently. Yes. So,
Darren's got a fab mate. Yeah, Dennis down the allotment. If you've got an hour, you go and see him, don't you? And you and he put the world to rights over some.
awful lot of singing that comes out of that shed.
Show me the way to go home. Wonderful.
You're listening to the Happy Garden podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. Gardening's answer to Sapphire and Steel. Or Ant and Deck. Either way, I can't tell which one is which.
Now, listen, I have a question for you, but my laptop, you know the question I forwarded to you a couple of hours ago? It's in the bedroom. Should I just go and get my laptop? And I'm going to go for a wee.
Okay.
Well. What's going to happen here now, then?
Well, I don't know.
You haven't done an interlude for...
And I'm just trying to think of a song that I could do, you know, that I actually know the words of. Mind you, that doesn't matter, because I just make it up, doesn't
it? It makes it more endearing when you make it up.
It's way more endearing.
Don't be offended, though, if in post-editing later on tonight, if it is shit, I will cut it out. I'll just be honest with you, Darren.
Okay.
Could go either way.
I've got one in mind.
Sure?
It's a love song, yeah.
Oh.
I think so, yeah.
So
Jim Reeves favourite, I think.
Who?
Jim Reeves. Don't you know who Jim Reeves is?
No.
Oh, my Lord. Listeners, how uncultured. You don't know who Jim Reeves is?
No.
I will sing you one of his songs and then you can look him up.
All right, well, this could go either way. The listeners will probably definitely will either hear elevator music if it's really bad, or here's Darren's version of Jim Reeves. We'll see. Anyway, I'm going to go and get my laptop. Good luck.
All right, then. All okay. Right. Well, folks, Molly Green not knowing who Jim Reeves is. Well, this is one of his really, really special songs, and it's called I Love You Because. So this is my tribute to all of you that listen to our Happy Garden podcast. And the song goes like this. I love you because you understand every single thing I try to do. You're always there to lend a helping hand. But most of all, I love you because you're you. No matter what the world may say about you, I love you for all the things you do. I love you for the way you make things brighter. But most of all, I love you because you're you.
I heard the tail end of that.
You hear that?
Wasn't too bad.
That was all right, wasn't it?
That was all right.
You wait till you hear it. I've dedicated it to you and all our listeners.
Oh, that's nice.
There you go.
Okay.
So now you've got to include it, haven't you?
Darn it, I guess I
You'll
have.
You'll cry.
Right, here we are. Where's the question now? What was the question on?
Is it the one about Madeira?
Yes, here we go. Yes.
About cake.
Molly, Darren, this is on this is on the Happy Garden podcast at gmail.com. And it's very well timed, actually, because Sarah sent me this literally before I dialed you for the podcast. So I did say we'd squeeze this in ahead of her trip. So here we go. Hi there, Molly and Darren. First, Molly, you told me to go to the Langton Garden Centre, which I did. It took 1.5 hours to get here from Ulruas, but I did have a lovely lunch and a lovely mooch, and I got a reduced plant as well. Glad you got to go. Did you see the pictures I put up on the Facebook page of Langton Garden Centre?
I did. Oh. Yeah. Wow.
We didn't have a massive amount of time, so we sort of only sort of skimmed round, but I honestly think it's the best garden centre I've ever been to in Leicestershire. It was lovely, really lovely. Anyway, she says, Mol, Darren, secondly, I'm going to Madeira in 3 weeks. Maybe you could give tropical garden delights, Darren. What should I go out and see? Do you think there's a botanical gardens which might be a must? And then thirdly, I've taken some pictures of my bleeding heart in my front garden. The plant was from Morrison's during COVID times. Hasn't it done well? She says, do you remember Morrison's was the one place you could get plants as garden centres were shut? And then she also says, my local coffee shop, The Bank, also gives away free coffee grinds, which you were talking about last week. So let's deal with Madeira first up, Darren.
Well, Madeira, Sarah, as you know, which is the reason why you're going, is a lush, wonderful green paradise full of plants. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. I've never been, and it's one of the places I want to try and get to. Perhaps when you go, you can take lots of pictures for us and post them on the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page. And the things that you can look out for, Sarah, are things like agapanthus. We all love them, don't we? They're really trendy. Have a look around, take photos. Proteas, they're like little cacti. Wonderful, stunning red flowers on those. What about strelitzias? Birds of paradise. It's where they come from. Have a look for those. Aloes, you know, I make tequila out of aloes, but they're going to be all over the place. Geranium madurensi, it's Madeira's version of the cranesbill, folks. Lovely pinky purple flowers. Chinese hibiscus, the big-leaved hydrangeas. If you love hydrangeas, these are ginormous in Madeira. They've got massive leaves. Sansevierias, you know, mother-in-law's tongue, sometimes called the snake plant. They're going to be all over the place for you. And of course, the stunning bougainvillea, you know, paper flame flowers. Absolutely gorgeous. Now, if you're looking for places to go, yes, there is the Botanical Garden of Madeira to go out there. But look out for the Monte Palace in Madeira. Palheiro Gardens, absolutely stunning, almost a botanical garden in its own right. There are lots and lots of villages with municipal gardens, and they really look after their horticulture over there. And what about the Santa Catarina Park? It's massive. It's acres for you to wander through. There is the orchid garden, and then there is the multi-award-winning international hanging gardens that you can go and look out for and just be stunned by whatever they've got training up and over pergolas and archways and things like that for you to walk through. And there's just a few of the highlights you're going to have in Madeira. But do please post us some pictures on the Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page.
On the what?
Happy Garden Podcast Facebook page.
There you go. Or, yeah, send them on the email and then I can post them up. thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Lucky girl. Lucky girl, Darren, going to Madeira.
Stunning place.
Avoiding all this rain we've got here in the UK and getting a bit of sunshine. And when you talk about foreign climes and foreign plants and fauna, Darren, I always think of you at Christmas when you're doing your bits, which you always do at Christmas, about poinsettias, talking about them growing like weeds in Mexico. It must be a phenomenal sight to see something that we, you know, we tend and we nurture in this country to try and get one bloom, and they're all over the verges elsewhere, you know, where they're native.
Yeah, they're weeds. So most of the plants we've got in our garden, the cassava pot plants, are weeds in their native countries, and massive. And then we use some things as annuals, like pelargoniums, you know, our bedding geraniums, and they are perennial in their natural environment. So, and they become massive tree-like things in there. It's fascinating, isn't it? You know, we use them in one way, but actually, in their native countries, they can become big dominant things they don't really like. There you go.
Well, Sarah, thank you very much for your question. The Happy Garden Podcast at Facebook. Oh, Darren, now look what you've done. You're getting me all confused. Hang on a sec. Let's let the let's let the professionals do it.
Get interactive with Molly. Lovely show. Professionals.
Come on.
Get interactive with Molly and Darren. Follow them on social media. It's a bit like stalking. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast on Instagram or Facebook.
You're the one with the radio degree.
A degree. Is there such a thing? Oh dear, even I'm losing track now. Listen, should we get your jokes on?
Yeah.
Now, right at the beginning of the Happy Garden Podcast, you gave it the big I am about your jokes this week, you're going to surpass yourself and brace yourself and all that.
Yeah.
You ready?
Well, there's some intelligent ones in here. You've got to think about them, folks. But I think there's a delayed response coming with some of them.
What are you saying? How rude. Right, well, we'll see.
Now in the Happy Garden.
It's about time for some Alan Titters. Brace yourself for your gardening jokes of the week from Darren Rudge.
Come on then, Lesby Avenue.
Well, Molly, I'm currently writing a book I'm brewing my own beer from hops growing in my garden. Not quite there yet, as it's only my first draft.
Good, I get that. Yeah.
You got that one? Got that one?
Yeah, good.
Once again, talking to my neighbour over the garden fence. I said, don't you find Thursdays depressing? He said to me, wait a couple of days and it's a sadder day.
Oh, that's good. Good, Darren, you can have one of those. Number two.
Two cows standing in a field on a snowy and very frosty day.
Yeah.
One says to the other, shivering, have you got a jersey? Because I'm a Frisian.
Oh, that's really good. That's clever.
Two rowing boats on a park boating lake almost collide. You almost hit me up the rear, one shouts to the other. You idiot. That was a stern warning.
Oh, good. Well, I get them all so far. Number four, yep.
After using my petrol mower for years without ear protection, I'm having problems with my hearing lately. So I went to the doctor this week, Molly, and he asked me to describe the symptoms. I said, Homer's a yellow bloke and Marge has got blue hair.
I'd just taken a sip then. That nearly went all over the equipment. That was really, really good. Yeah, that was good.
And finally...
Oh, another one.
Yeah. Bugs Bunny doesn't accept messages through Google Drive. Mm-hmm. He will only accept a WhatsApp doc.
Oh, Darren.
I told you they were good.
Everyone a winner.
The best still last. Wait till you hear next week's. I've already prepared them.
The Simpsons was good. Oh, I enjoyed those. Oh, my cheeks are actually hurting. Well done, Darren. Good. As always, if you want to joke off Darren, you are more than welcome. Again, get in touch on thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com if you think you're hard enough and can beat our dazzler.
Yeah, definitely. Share.
Share.
Please do.
Yeah. Brilliant.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Now, are you going to get your kit off for World Naked...
Yeah, definitely,
are you?
Yeah.
World...
Don't you?
God, no.
Don't you?
Hell no. World Naked Gardening Day, which is just round the corner. When did I say it was? The 4th. It was the 4th, wasn't it? The 4th of May.
May the 4th, yeah.
May... Oh, yes, yeah. Of course, because that's...
Don't do it on the 5th, because you will get arrested.
You'll get arrested, yeah. The local police will let you off, it's the 4th. No, it was actually founded by the consulting editor for Nude and Natural magazine, Mark Storey.
What, really?
Yeah, permaculturalist Jacob Gabriel and he, as a project of Body Freedom Collaborative. The idea was inspired by the success of, oh, I didn't even know this existed, Darren, World Naked Bike Ride Day.
Oh, God.
Hang on, my laptop's still here. Let me Google that. Have a
World
look at images.
Naked Bike Ride Day.
Well, apparently. Let's have a look. Let the dog see the rabbit. Yeah. World Naked Bike... Don't Google this at home. Don't Google this at work. Anybody listening? I'll do it for you.
Oh, dear. And I get saddle sore with trousers on.
Yeah, it's a thing. The traditional date for World Naked Bike Ride London, this is just for London, ooh, it's the second Saturday in June. It's the 8th of June this year.
He's joking. Good
hang
God.
On, hang on, let me...
You know what happens if you pull up too short, don't you?
Hang on.
What? They've got pictures
They've
on
got
there.
Pictures. Hang on.
I've got my laptop in front
Go
of me.
Go on, have a look.
Hold on.
Let's have a look at images. Oh, man. Really?
You are joking.
No, I'm not.
Honestly.
Let me go back to the Wikipedia page. World Naked Bike Ride. Started in 2003.
They've got blurred pictures, haven't they?
No. No, it's all there. The message of World Naked Bike Ride is protesting against oil dependency and celebrating the power and individually of the human body. And then there was a shift to simplify the message and focus on cycling advocacy. So there you go.
Oh God.
And it's in 28 cities and 10 countries on 4 continents. So it's huge.
Wow.
Anyway, on the back of that, as it were, then World Naked Gardening Day has started. So both of the founders are involved. And they say getting naked in your own backyard has so many benefits. On a serious note here.
Yeah.
As nature intended, a sense of freedom and release, a boost to self-confidence and positive image, a good laugh, laughing relieves stress and promotes good health, a greater connection to the natural world, which also busts stress and improves mental health, and of course the health benefits of more vitamin D on your whole body.
Yeah, and legally, you know, from a legal standpoint, as long as you're not causing offence or vulgarity, you can't be arrested for it. So, you know, and you can do whatever you like in your own garden. It's as simple as that, you know.
Now, we know this law because a couple of weeks ago on the podcast when you were talking about the man doing a whoopsie in the sand dunes, do you remember we Googled, can you be naked in public or can you do whatever he was doing in public? As long as you're not causing offence, you're fine. He was causing offence, clearly. But, yeah, riding a bike, not doing anyone any harm. Except yourself, probably.
But Biddy Colony did this in central London, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah. Google that one. Biddy Colony nude.
No
yeah,
way,
honestly.
Really?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Put
yeah.
Laptop
he
back
walked
out.
Through central London with all his ging and ghoulies out.
Why? Billy.
Just to prove a point.
Colony. Naked London. To prove what point? Billy
yeah,
Colony's
there you go.
London streak. Images. Oh, yes.
There you go.
Well, I've learned something there. What do you do that for?
You got Peter Piper and the Ping Pong Brothers out.
Yeah. Right, where are we now? What sheet are we? We've done your jokes.
I don't know.
I've done the World Naked Garden Day. Oh, Andy Lound. Let's get Andy Lound on. Amaze Understand with Andy Loud. He's here every week on the Happy Garden Podcast with horticultural histories. Need we remind you anything you would like him to delve into for you or investigate, horticulturally speaking? Again, drop us an email, thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. And today, Andy's looking at the history of apples.
It's Amaze and Astound with Andy Loud. That's me. Hello, Molly and Darren. Today, I'm going to trace the history of one of the most ubiquitous fruits in the world, the apple. This humble fruit has a rich and diverse history that spans centuries, intertwining with various cultures, legends, and scientific breakthroughs. So let us travel to the ancient landscapes of Kazakhstan, where the wild apple, Malus sievesii, is believed to have originated. These small sour fruits were the ancestors of the sweet and crisp apples we enjoy today. As human civilizations flourished, so did the cultivation of apples, spreading through trade routes to the Middle East and beyond. Apples have held symbolic significance in numerous cultures throughout history. In ancient Greece, they were associated with a goddess of discord, Eris. The biblical narrative of Adam and Eve also features the apple as a symbol of temptation and knowledge. The Silk Road, the ancient network of trade routes connecting East and West, played a crucial role in the dissemination of apple varieties. As traders and explorers traversed these routes, they carried with them diverse apple seeds, leading to the establishment of orchards in new regions. The fruit became a staple in the diets of many civilizations, adapting to various climates and soils. In colonial America, where the apple found a new home, Johnny Chapman, later known as Johnny Appleseed, the legendary folk hero, is credited with spreading apple seeds across the American frontier in the 19th century. He created a number of horticultural nurseries. His efforts contributed to the establishment of apple orchards. The first in North America was William Blaxton's in Boston, Massachusetts. The only Native American apple is the crab apple. Apples grown from seed tend to be very different from those of their parents, and the resultant fruit frequently lacks desired characteristics. For commercial purposes, apple cultivars are propagated by clonal grafting onto rootstocks. Apple trees grown without rootstocks tend to be larger and much slower to fruit after planting. Rootstocks are used to control the speed of growth and the size of the resulting tree, allowing for easier harvesting. In the 20th century, scientific advancement in horticulture and genetics revolutionised apple cultivation. The work of individuals like Luther Burbank and Gregor Mendel led to development of apple varieties with improved taste, texture and disease resistance. There are more than 7,500 cultivars of apples. Different cultivars are bred for various tastes and uses, including cooking, eating raw, cider, or apple juice production. Worldwide production of apples in 2021 was 93 million tonnes, with China accounting for nearly half the total. Apples are fabulous. Apple pies and crumbles, baked, covered in toffee, put in stews, sliced, diced, however you like them. Yes, okay. Also in cider, forming part of that fabulous wassail ceremony. Have a quick drink. There was a young lady from Ryde who ate some green apples and died. The apples fermented inside the lamented and made cider her inside. Aha! More from potted... potted? More from the potting shed next time. Oh dear. Quick, get the chair, Nelly. Get the chair. So, Molly and Darren, more from the potting shed next time.
Andy Lound, everybody. Yay. Thank you, Andy Lound.
Yay.
Always gorgeous to have him on. If you want to know more about Andy, it's andrewlound.com. On to another question for you, our Dazzler Pants, if it's okay to call you that.
Okay. Of course.
Do you remember when our boss at the...
No problem at all.
Oh, no, I better not say that. Hang on. On to another question for you, Dazzler. Oh, Daz. Oh dear.
Yeah.
Yes. On to another question for you, Dazzler, and this is from Oh. This is, oh dear. This is from Penny. Now it's, hang on a second. Another question for the Happy Garden Podcast, Molly. Can you ask Darren, are Epsom salts an effective fertiliser? Oh, hang on a second. I'm being passed a note. Oh, you scared me then. Lunch ready-ish. Shall I put the pie in? It takes 15 minutes. Oh, bless you, Mr. Green. I'm being passed a note. How long we got? 15 minutes. You can speak, it's fine. You've been on before. 15 minutes.
No, I'm saying it. Have you got longer to do?
No, we've only got... you can have your note back. Darren's money saving and jobs, and then
Shall
we're
I
finished.
Put your pie in?
Put my pie in, that would be great. Thank you.
And you get on to me about asking for coffee.
Oh, no, the reason we're having a big Sunday lunch. Hang on, just let me peep out the door.
Just close the door. Oh, no. Don't people to hear.
We've got guests staying for a few days. So we're trying to act like we always do a big Sunday lunch, even though we don't. we're having... Anyway, where were we? Penny's question. That's so sweet, bless him. He snuck in with a note. Penny's question. Shall I start all this again? Because that was all lunacy. Another question for the Happy Garden Podcast, Molly. Could you ask Darren, are Epsom salts an effective fertiliser? I've heard you can add them to your watering can or just use the crystals straight from the soil. Surely you need more than just magnesium. Could you ask Darren? And that is from Penny.
penny. They are an effective fertiliser, and indeed, on some of the bags that you buy, when you buy your Epsom salts, it'll say, this is a fertiliser. So you can use them. It's magnesium sulphate. And that's what they are, Epsom salts. And magnesium in plants is responsible for strong cellular growth. It's responsible for structures within the plant, so strong structural growth. But most of all, it's a massive, massive, massive part of photosynthesis. So the green stuff that's in your leaves is caused by what we call chloroplasts, and those are the green things. And they collect the light and help your plants to make food and feed themselves. So if you give your plants Epsom salts, then basically that's what you're doing. You're helping them to feed themselves as well as grow healthy structures. Now, here's the recipe. Yes, you can use them neat and just sprinkle them on the ground. You can use them as a base dressing. So when you're planting things in the ground, sprinkle a little bit in the bottom of the hole, sprinkle as a top dressing, as I just said, across the soil and just work them into the soil, but also as a liquid feed, because you'll know that Epsom salts you can just sprinkle in your bath and they dissolve. So 1 tablespoon in a gallon watering can, you can feed your tomatoes, your veg, your houseplants, all sorts of things. And all you're doing is you're just boosting that magnesium and you're helping them to actually build healthy structures within the plant as well as feed themselves. And that's what magnesium does. The other thing is, if you've had a bag of compost, folks, open for a little while, more than 6 months, you might want to enliven those cultures, and that's what magnesium sulfate does as well. So just a couple of handfuls of Epsom salts in your compost, work it through. So in other words, you know, get it mixed into your compost really well, and you'll enliven those cultures, and that'll help your bag of compost to actually go a little bit further for you. So there you go. That's almost a money-saving tip. But I hope that helps you. Use your Epsom salts. And then after you've done all that, you sprinkle it in your bath and have a little bit of a relax, can't you?
Well, I was going to ask the question that I think a couple of people will be thinking on the back of hearing you answer that. Do you have to buy, Darren, Epsom salts from the garden centre, or literally can you use the basic stuff from the supermarket?
You can use the basic stuff from the supermarket. It might smell of lavender, but, you know. just use the basic stuff from the supermarket. Don't buy branded stuff from your garden centre. It's exactly the same stuff.
Great.
Don't do that.
Good,
you know.
Good. And talking money saving, should we do your tips?
Yeah!
Now, live on the Happy Garden Podcast, it's time for
Darren's Money Saving Tips.
Well, yes. Go, man, go.
So, have you got smelly bins? Well, that's funny. I don't really know. But, if you have got smelly recycling bins, your old waste bins and things like that, it can be a really big problem. They attract flies and, well, you know, they're smelly, aren't they? So no need to employ that man with a van with a power washer. If you have some baking powder, and that's all you need, a thick layer of baking powder at the bottom of the empty bin goes a long way towards getting rid of odours in the garden and waste bins. Sprinkle at the bottom after they've been emptied, as I said, and then ban those odours forever. And it's as simple as that, just by employing a little bit of baking powder at the bottom of your dustbins, wheelie bins, compost bins, whatever. Gone forever. There you go, money-saving tip.
Boom.
Yeah, boom.
I think we're about done, Darren.
Wow. Done well this week.
We have, yeah. Already lots lined up for the Happy Garden Podcast. Next week, we are going to be talking No Mow May on the agenda. Also, Bug Life joining us as well to talk about this splat count, the huge citizen science survey that's done on people's number plates across the UK to have a look at the numbers of insects in the UK. Results are in, they're not good, but we will be looking at the results and talking about the consequences. All the usual bits and bobs from you, Ad Asler, next week. God willing. I say God willing. You've got to be
good. Well, I might
good
not
boy
be here
this week.
Might have to do it through the Ouija board.
Oh, Darren. How is your chest? Have you held up?
It's all right. All right. It's a bit painful, you know, when I laugh. But, you know, I go through it for my art. Yeah. You know, this pain is pain that I feel for my art.
Love you, Darren. Right, get your job sheet ready. We'll finish with some jobs for the week ahead. Well, yeah.
Darren's money-saving tips.
Boom. You got me at it now. Boom. Right, we're at the end of sheet five. Sheet five today, which is Darren's jobs for the week ahead. I have had a quick look at the weather as we enter May. It's all right. We are getting warmer, though. It's my birthday next week, as you know, Darren.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't forgotten. How old are you?
Literally none of your business. Do you know what, Darren? I'm old enough not to know, which is a good, which is a godsend, really. And I'm not going
to
work
my
it
aunt
out.
Used to say, my aunt used to say I'm as old as my tongue and a bit older than my teeth.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. But I was looking at the weather for the week ahead, it being my birthday celebrations, and it does look like we're getting up into the high teens, which is good. More rain, of course, on the way, sunshine and showers. But if you are going to get out and about into the garden, no excuses, as Darren says, this time of year, what should we be getting up with?
Now in the happy garden.
Oh, I say, sweetie, this is my favourite bit. Time for Darren to be absolutely flabulous and regale us with his gardening jobs for the week ahead.
Well, yes. Go.
Well, something not to do in the garden is cutting away the foliage of spring bulbs, such as your daffodils, your snowdrops and your tulips. It's important that the leaves are allowed to die naturally, folks, because they're feeding the bulbs. So if you want them back for next year, leave them to go brown. The thing you can do is pull off the seed heads. These are these bulbous things at the top of where the flower was, because you don't want them to go to seed. That's why sometimes, particularly daffodils, they go blind. OK, so pull those off, but leave the rest of the stuff to go brown. Spring bulbs can be lifted and moved while they're in the green, and perennial flowers can be planted from pots into the ground. You can still divide perennials, but it's getting a bit late for them now. Stake perennial flowers that need it, so, or put hoops in place of perennial flowers that you think are going to be tall enough that will flop over. Get ready for them to grow. So seeds of hardy annuals, candy tuft, calendula, Californian poppy and nemphilia. Get some nasturtiums in the ground, folks. They're lovely, aren't they, nasturtiums?
Oh,
you can eat them in your salad as well.
Beautiful. Most of all, enjoy your time in the garden as, we're now in May. So exciting.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
It really
lovely
is.
Time of year.
It is. Beautiful month ahead. Darren, thank you very much for the podcast today. Loved it, as always. Glad you're still with us.
Oh, it's happy to be here. It's good to be alive, you know.
Have you got a different perspective on life now?
I think I have. I think I've come out of that 14-hour time in A&E with a different look on life.
Great appreciation for your wife, hopefully.
Well, let's not go too far with it.
Oh, my goodness. You massive twit. Go on, get out of it. I've got pie to eat. Thanks for the podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Enjoy your garden, folks. Bye. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Happy Garden Podcast with Molly Green and Darren Rudge. If you'd like to send them an email, get in touch with the Happy Garden Podcast by emailing thehappygardenpodcast@gmail.com. Follow them on social media. Just search for the Happy Garden Podcast. Can we say Happy Garden Podcast just one more time? The Happy Garden Podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.